This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. I am really excited. My game of the week, this is the one I'm the most interested in. I know the Broncos-Chargers, that's a huge battle, but it's still week three. I know CSU really needs to beat UTSA, all of that. I'm looking at it. But Wyoming and Colorado. I don't know, Ethan. I got picks coming up at the end of the show today, and I won't put you to that test. But 13 and a half. What was the score with Wyoming Utah? Was it 31 to, what was the final score of that game there, Ethan?
That was 31-6.
31-6. I know the score looks bad, and Utah ultimately covered, but I still, I took more positives from that. If Wyoming could have found an ounce of offense, who knows what's going to happen in that game? And Utah's not the same team as Colorado, so I don't know. I'm kind of in between two different universes right now in looking at this game.
Yeah, two things can be true. The Wyoming offense was unacceptably bad, and the Utah defense is very, very good. Those two things can be true at the same time, and this Colorado defense is not even close to what that Utah defense will be. So if the Wyoming offense can't get something going, Jay Johnson is going to have a lot of questions to answer come Monday.
Oh, no question. I mean, that's the thing. It's funny because I was in the same boat as you, and you follow this team closely, but we were like, okay, we like some of the pieces on offense, but we don't know much about this defense at all. This defense looks as good as it has looked, maybe just as good as it did under Craig Bohl. With a lot of these additions, and that linebacking core is ridiculous. Again, I know that's a shocker, but now you just got to give them a little bit. Even just moving the ball down the field, give these guys some rest.
Yeah, it's weird. You have to remember that Caden Anderson is still a young starting quarterback. I think this is going to be like his seventh game, but I don't think he's been helped out a whole lot with the play calling. But also sometimes when it comes to Caden, I don't think he was completely 100% last week, but also he's got to make some better reads, especially on those read options where sometimes he keeps the ball when he shouldn't, sometimes he hands it off when he shouldn't, but that's also kind of with how young he is at the starting quarterback position. So Caden's going to have to make a big step this week.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's a battle of the Cadens. One spells his name differently, though, so that could be the difference. It could be the spelling there. On the run game, I mean, you look at it. I feel like this running back core for Wyoming, I mean, that's pretty deep. They had an amazing running back last year. We've talked about him already. We don't need to go there anymore, but it does seem like they're pretty deep. I mean, do you expect Wyoming and Jay Sovell just to flat out say, you know what? The passing idea was fun. I want to try it eventually, and we all want to do it so that at the end of the season we've got a passing game. But passing game maybe be damned a little bit. Let's run all over a Buffs team that has been struggling against the run pretty much since Coach Prime took over.
Yeah, I mean, on Monday, Coach Sauvel even said that he feels like they're going away from the run a little bit too much. And that's the bread and butter of Wyoming football, since Wyoming football was Wyoming football. You run the darn ball. The problem on Saturday was that they couldn't get anything going between the tackles against Utah. But when Utah's defensive line is the biggest human beings you're going to see the whole season, that kind of makes sense. But where they were finding some success was off of the edges, which they went away from a little bit too much, in my opinion. But, you know, like you said, CU, they can't really defend the run whatsoever, and they're worse between the tackles. And when you've got a running back like Sam Scott who hits those holes really hard, I think it could be a recipe of disaster for the Buffs.
Well, on the Buff side of things, too, I mean, when you look at this game, it's going to be a late night for you, my friend. No question. But the Buffs certainly have their turmoil. And I mean, the pressure is all on Colorado. I mean, Wyoming's 2-1. They're already, I mean, a win away from where they were last season. So you got to feel like things have been going well, and maybe half glass full, half empty with how you want to view that Utah game. I'm choosing to kind of view it as glass half full. Honestly,
yeah,
the Buffs certainly have their issues. I mean, they're already in a quarterback carousel. They're going around right now between three different dudes, going back to Caden Salter. So this does feel like kind of a touchy time for the Buffs to be taking on the Cowboys at this stage.
Oh yeah, I mean 2-2 is. I mean, we would have been happy if Wyoming was 2-2 come the end of conference play, and then the real season starts when you get into Mountain West play. But if you go in 3-1, the favor that you're earning from not only the fan base, but probably from Tom Berman, will be huge for Jay Sauvel and this football team. And, you know, I think they'll prove that they can be a true contender in a Mountain West that looks a lot more wide open than a lot of people expected. CU, I mean, if they lose to, I mean, you and I, we know these teams. We know Wyoming is a legit team, but most Buffs fans, they don't understand that Wyoming is a team that could beat CU. So if they lose to Wyoming, there's gonna be a whole lot of unhappy people in Boulder.
When just even going back further, when you look at it, because again, I'm looking at the matchups. Utah, completely different team than Colorado. I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about Utah in the playoffs this year, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Utah, I think they're going to smack Texas Tech this week and prove that they're the top team. And Devin Dampier is legit. That O-line is legit. That defense attacks you at all three phases. There's not a weakness on Utah, and I think that they're going to prove that this week. But when you look at Utah, look at how much better they got once they figured out who their starting quarterback was going to be every single week. And they went out and got him. Whereas CU, I think they kind of have shades of what you saw from Utah last year. Like, who's going to start? What does that do mentally to a football team? And what does that do mentally to a quarterback, you know? So I think that also might be leading to some of the Buffs issues.
Well, and I know Devin Dampier, if you just want to look at the box score, yeah, he got his numbers. Mm-hmm. He ran for almost 100 yards.
Yeah.
He threw for two touchdowns. He threw for 230 yards. But I felt like Wyoming contained him for the most part until you got to that mid-third quarter. I think Jay Sauvel even talked about that third and long. That was kind of a backbreaker.
Yeah.
But I thought they contained him well.
Well, they did. They absolutely did. And then, you know, none of them were going to say it, but when you're on the field for 80 plays, you're not going to be able to play to the top of your ability like you saw in the first half. But the offense did not give the defense any favors or any type of rest. You know, that end of that third and 21, unacceptable. Fatigue didn't have anything to do with that. Somebody just missed an assignment. You can't do that. But as you got later into that later third quarter and fourth quarter, I mean, these guys were gassed, and I think that kind of led to the score being run up a little bit. But they played about as perfect as they could for 75% of the game.
Yeah, no, I thought so. And again, those linebackers, Evan Eller, Braden Johnson, I mean, these guys, these are top-tier linebackers. These are guys we're probably going to be talking about, I think, maybe talking about on Sunday someday.
Well, they certainly play like they could. I mean, these are two of the best linebackers Wyoming has had since Logan Wilson. I'm sorry.
Good, you got it.
two of the best. Where one of them was on the team last year but took a red shirt, and the other was in a town that nobody's ever heard of last year playing D3 football or something like that. Like, give me a break. These two guys, they were right under everybody's noses, and now they're some of the top rated linebackers in the country, and they just play so hard and they hit so hard, and their eyes are really good. That's what differentiates them. A good linebacker from an elite linebacker is those little organs in your head called eyeballs, and they use them so well, and they're so disciplined, and that's why they're such difference makers.
Do you think the Cowboys have a realistic shot here, man? How do you feel?
Oh yeah, I'm feeling good about it. It doesn't matter.
Like really good? Like really good? I'm trying to get a pick out of you here.
I'm feeling really good about 13.5.
Okay.
Well, this game's going to go one of two ways. It's either, you know, Wyoming wins like 21-17, you know, 17-10, something like that, or Boulder wins or Boulder covers. I think that's the only two ways this game is going to go. But I think it's more likely that Wyoming really comes out and competes and gives the Buffs a run for their money. I'll give you the pick. I've come prepared this time. You know, I'll be prepared in future weeks. That's the pick I took. So, full transparency, my money is on that.
You know, I'm going to ask at some point because every hour of the show, 3 hours a day, leads up to one final segment, and that's the picks. That's all this show is about for me personally, to get some gain and insight on where I'm going to pick. That's what the show. It's not for the people. This is 100% about my picks.
You got to get the bills paid somehow, right?
100%.
You got to make sure you hit it.
Ethan, I thought it was interesting, just looking at the Denver Post predictions, they primarily cover the Buffaloes more than, you know, obviously the Broncos and then the Buffaloes second, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody that we follow here, I'm looking at their picks, and they all have it as a pretty close game. I mean, I think the biggest discrepancy I see here is a 10-point game. So it's interesting. They're all kind of on that side where Wyoming at least covers.
Yeah, they're going to compete. And, you know, I think that Utah game really showed this team what they can do. You know, they can hang. They can hang with some of the best teams in the country. You know, it's like the Texas game a couple years ago. If you can hang with the best and you can prove to your guys that you can hang with the best and then you fix the mistakes, who can't you beat, right? You know, it's always Pokes versus the world, and this week it's just Pokes versus the Buffs.
Yeah, well, and sometimes that can feel, when you're going up against the Buffs, it can feel like it's you versus the world because of the coverage that they get. But, man, mm-hmm. you talk about the spotlight right here on Wyoming, and I think about tight end John Michael Gillenborg, assuming he's good to go here as we talk on a Friday. That's a guy we've all talked about being drafted at some point. If he can show mm-hmm. out on a big stage like he's going to be on tomorrow night, then that stock goes way up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's going to be 52,000 people in the stands already. You've got a standalone ESPN game that, knowing ESPN, we're not kicking off at 8:15. It'll be like 8:30.
Yeah.
It'll be a later night for everybody. But, I mean, it's cool. Like, what an opportunity for these young men, right? Like, you're playing on the channel that you've watched your whole life and wanted to be on. You're playing against one of the greatest people to ever play football in front of a sold out crowd. Why not us? You know, why not compete and show what you've got? And if J Mike is healthy tomorrow night's the night to do it.
Is he like, what percentage is he at this stage?
I don't know. I don't think he practiced on Monday, and that's really the last I heard. It's a thigh bruise, which isn't like season ending or anything like that, but it's definitely can nag at you pretty good and reduce your performance. But Savelle, I mean, it sounded like he was like 60-40. I don't know. We don't get to watch practice during the week, so we don't know. But we'll know before the game tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take the 60-40. I'm going to take that as a positive going forward.
It's definitely trending in the right direction as opposed to the wrong one.
Ethan, what do you got going for us, man, that we can check out at KGWN-TV as you're preparing for this big matchup?
Well, tonight, right after this, I'm preparing for Friday Night Frenzy. It's high school football night.
Nice.
How fun that is. But, yeah, I mean, tomorrow we're going to have coverage all day. You know, live shots in our 5:30, live shot in our 10, and our weekend sports anchor Casey is going to have in-depth stuff on Sunday after the – once it's all said and done, and we're going all in on the Pokes every Monday, we go to that presser and let everybody know what they need to know. And it's a lot of fun, and we love covering this team, and we love covering wins. So let's see if we get one on Saturday.
See if they can pull off a little something dangerous this weekend, my friend. Ethan, appreciate you as always, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, of course, man. See you then.
Always. Ethan Bird, sports director at KGWN-TV. Boy, this is a toughie here. I mean, the spread seems fairly realistic. You know, I'm looking at the Denver Post, and they've got Kyle Newman has CU beating Wyoming 28-24. Our buddy, Sean Keeler, has CU beating Wyoming 25-26, still a cover for Wyoming. And then Matt Schubert, sports editor at the Denver Post, has this one 23 CU, Wyoming 13, so a 10-point game. So all three of those guys, fairly in the know when it comes to Colorado Buffaloes, they at least are saying a Wyoming cover here. So we'll do with that what you want. Also some Buffs news, Michael. You know, a lot was talked about with Ralphie. They've got – what, Michael, are you a Roman numerals guy?
It depends.
Give me the V.
That's a 5.
In the I.
That's 7.
Okay, so Ralphie 7 is coming up. 1-year-old Buffalo Bison, for those following along, to make debut Saturday against Wyoming. I mean, I'm guessing she's just going to like be standing there, right? They're not going to are they going to walk her out there? She might already have more than the last one. So that's some interesting news for the Buffs. Is that going to give them a little extra juice? A 1-year-old Bison out there on the field? What do you think? No comment. Okay, 21 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, Michael's not a Bison connoisseur, so we won't go back to that well.
I want a Bison burger.
Okay. 21 minutes after 12 o'clock, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
City Roadhouse presents Football Friday on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back? Still doing that shit, Andre?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Check me out.
It's still Dre Day, A.K.
Not normally my cup of tea, but it's good. It's good. And anything's possible on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Mike, how about that? Anything
is possible.
If this
was my cup of tea, I'd pour it out because I would know it's poisoned.
It's good. It's good. You can't beat that. All right, coming up, we got Brian Howell going to join us, talk a little bit about his perspective from the CU side of things. Oh, boy. You know, Coach Prime, a lot has been talked about with this quarterback carousel that he's on. He said he didn't want to get into one of those, but here we are. And that's a concern. It was a concern to me when you went to Staub. I actually agree with the move to go back to Caden Salter, but I also, I don't love that you had to go back to Caden Salter, if you know what I mean. So I do think that that's the right move, but here we are. You still don't have, and Coach Prime hates this, but a solidified quarterback at this stage. Will Caden Salter solidify himself as the starting quarterback this weekend against what I believe is a very tough defense in the Wyoming Cowboys? And if the Cowboys can, dude, if the Cowboys can roll down on that first possession they have, go down and score somehow, some way, and I know Derbs, the dude down the hall, is like, I just don't know if they're going to score points. Well, that's right. I mean, they didn't score much against Akron. They got some against Northern Iowa. That was better. But then They pretty much got six against Utah last week. That's Utah. Can they cover 13.5? That's the question, Mike. Can they cover 13.5 points?
You should have a walkout song by Salt and Pepper.
What? Why?
Salter.
Mm. Yes.
Salt and Pepper.
Yeah. What do you think the new Ralphie's name should be? I'm going to bring you back in on this because you said you didn't realize I was asking you a question. What do you think of a one-year-old bison standing on the field on Saturday night?
Veal.
Do they have the name?
I don't know, but what's the Buffalo Burger version of veal?
She weighs 700 pounds and is a gift from the Beauprez family, multi-generational University of Colorado alumni, and owners of Ingle Wing Ranch outside of Steamboat Springs. I'm just trying to find her name. I just want to know her name. What is her name? Maybe Brian will have the answer to that. So that's some interesting news. Going to roll her out. I'm guessing they just like walk her along. Like she's not running. She's not ready for that yet, is she? I can't imagine. Well, let's talk to Brian about it. 12:30 the time. Brian Howell, Buff Zone, coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
I'm of the belief that they never should have gone away from him, but they did. And I think that it sort of created some of this mess. I think that if they had stuck with him, they might have some more continuity on offense and it would look better. But I'd like to see him again and have him just be committed to, and let's just see him for a few games.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Like, I get it. Staub came in. He injected some life during the Delaware game. But I just thought it was far too soon to give up on kind of the plan that you believed you had through most of the offseason once you knew Caden Salter was going to be a Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, and it was, to me, it was one of the more odd quarterback benchings I've seen. It's interesting, though, because Coach Prime on his coach's show with Mark Johnson the other day said something that he kind of paused and said, if you knew what we knew, then maybe you'd understand a little more. And so it tells me that there's probably something that Caden Salter wasn't doing off the field. And maybe a message to him. And, I mean, Coach Prime mentioned this week, I said, what do you want to see out of Caden Salter? He goes, leadership and consistency. And so I'm thinking maybe that he wasn't stepping up as a leader like they want. Maybe he was not taking care of things in the classroom. I have no idea. I'm just speculating. But it sounds to me like maybe there was something beyond just the football field. Like, Caden, take care of your business. You're the starting quarterback here.
Yeah, that's interesting, Brian, to hear that, because it did seem strange. The timing of everything seemed kind of strange. So now that you say something like that, it's like, well, maybe just wasn't seeing enough in the locker room or outside the locker room. That's fascinating to me, and that would make more sense as to why we saw Ryan Staub get the start against Houston.
Yeah, because really, I mean, you look at Caden Salter, what he's done so far, and it's like, well, like that, he wasn't great. But he gave them a shot to win a game against the Georgia Tech team. It now looks pretty darn good, you know. So you can't fault him for being in the game against Georgia Tech. And then game two, all he does is take you out to a 10-0 lead, and then he gets benched. So he hasn't played poorly.
It was a confusing situation for sure, but they're going. Sounds like at least they're going back to him, going up against a Wyoming team. They're interesting. Offensively, not so much, but defensively, they did have Utah on the ropes for a moment. You get mid-third quarter, and then suddenly it just seemed like that defense was on the field far too long for Wyoming, and then ultimately Utah ends up winning big. They end up covering, actually. It didn't feel like that, but the Cowboys showed me on one side of the ball, they can be pretty darn good, but on the other side, yikes. So that's an opportunity for maybe the Buffs looking at that saying, we got to find a way to stop the run. Wyoming, kind of all they have is the run game, so I am curious to see what's going to give in this one.
Yeah, because the Buffs have had some issues stopping the run, obviously, but it's been running quarterbacks that have hurt them mostly, and Caden Anderson of Wyoming is not a running quarterback. I think he's got 10 yards rushing in 30-some carries over the last 2 years, so I could see maybe Wyoming trying that because that's what CU has been burned by, but this is a chance for the Buffs defense to get right a little bit and to prove themselves a little bit. I think that's a key in this one. And offensively for the Buffs, you know, with Caden Salter, it's an opportunity for them to get right as well. I mean, this Wyoming defense has been pretty solid, but, you know, Utah Burnham, they ran for a lot of yards last week. And the Buffs need to get their run game going a little bit, too.
And you saw, you know, with Utah, a running quarterback, former New Mexico quarterback in Devin Dampier. And that also might be an opportunity for Caden Salter because Dampier ran for almost 100 yards. I thought Wyoming kind of contained him at first. And then, like I said, it kind of started to break free. But that could bode well for the running game when it comes to the quarterback side of things.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, the Buffs have struggled with running quarterbacks forever. And, you know, we've talked about, like, those that cover the team and say, man, it'd be nice if the Buffs ever had one of those guys. And it feels like Caden Salter can be one of those guys. And so that's why I'm looking forward, going back to what we originally talked about, seeing them maybe turn him loose and just let him use his natural skills and just see what it looks like. Because I think it can look pretty good. And I think Caden Salter could really spark this offense on Saturday.
How about the rest of these running backs for CU? I mean, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong. I was looking this morning. The Buffs are 104th out of 134 when it comes to rushing yards at this point. I would like to see. Now I know Micah Welch. What do you have? 5 carries. Not very good last week. But I feel like there's something there with this dude, and I'm not ready to give up on him. I think that he could be a big time game changer for the Buffs.
Yeah, and hey, that 104th is way better than what it's been the last 2 years, so you'll take it, right?
Yeah, sure.
When they were dead last in the country. Micah Welch, he had a really good first game against Georgia Tech, and he has done nothing. He had a 10-yard touchdown run in week 2, but other than that run, he's literally been tackled behind the line of scrimmage, I think, every carry. I don't know what's going on with him, but Simeon Price has stepped up and had a really nice start to the year, a guy that I didn't expect anything from because he's a fifth-year senior that didn't ever do anything at Mississippi State or Coastal Carolina, and he wasn't even doing anything in high school. He's a very interesting case. When you look back at his high school, his production there was more as a receiver. He hardly ever ran the ball. But here he is making some plays for the Buffs. So they got an interesting running back room. I agree with you. There's something there. I don't know if it's Michael Welch or if it's Price. Or if it's Dallin Hayden getting healthy, but there's something interesting in that room.
Do you see the Buffs kind of taking more of that approach this weekend? Like, let's really try to settle in here, not put too much on Caden Salter right off the bat, and try to really establish that ground game early on with the running backs, maybe running with Caden too, but really trying to ground and pound a little bit.
I think so. They got a little bit of it going, in that week one, but. They struggled sometimes to run the ball against Delaware even. So they need to get that going. I mean, their pass blocking has been pretty good, but their run game just has not been great. And again, it's way better than it's been the last 2 years, but I think that they need a really solid game out of that run game. But they also want to get those wide receivers involved. So I'm not sure they really know what they want to do yet, but they have a lot of things they want to do.
Brian, it might be safe to say they don't really have an identity, maybe. I know that's another another bad word over there, but Coach Prime didn't really seem to like that. It just doesn't seem like they have that identity right now.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Coach Prime will say something like that, and then the next day his tight ends coach talks and says, we need to find an identity on offense. You know, it's like, okay, do you need an identity or not? I mean, obviously they need to figure something out. And we knew what they hung their hat on the last couple of years, which was Shadua's arm. They've got to figure out something with this offense to where every week teams have to worry about something, you know, worry about that run game, worry about Caden Salter being that dual threat, whatever it is. And so they got to figure that out, and it starts this week.
Brian, this game is just – it's huge. You finish up your non-conference slate here, and then it's off to take on, you know, BYU. And I know their prediction certainly changed with their quarterback situation, but they're 2-0 to start the season. Then you got TCU. Then you really get into the thick of things with Iowa State and Utah down the road. This is a big one when you're talking about the Buffs at least being a bowl team, and you need to get this one.
Yeah, if they don't win this one, they're not going to be in a bowl game because there's just – I don't think there's any shot they're going to win. If they're 1-3 going into the rest of conference play, they're not going to win 5 more games, in my opinion. You have to win this one because you got to somehow find 4 conference wins the rest of the way. And BYU, they're a tough team, and that might be one of your easier conference games because you mentioned those three after that. That's tough. I mean, TCU, Iowa State, Utah, good luck. I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to win one in that group of three right there. So it's a tough schedule they got coming up, and they really have to get this one and probably next week too.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. All right, not necessarily X's and O's related, but I did see the release that the new Ralphie 7, set to make her debut this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think it is X's and O's because she can run.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if she can move.
The run game starts with her. And, you know, the Ralphie 6 retired, and they cited a, quote, indifference to running. And their release today said that she definitely does not have an indifference to running. And I've heard that she is very fast, and the fans will love her.
So what do they do for the first outing? And I haven't been. I've seen, obviously, Ralphie run, and I love it. I think it's the best pregame ritual in all of college. I'm a sucker for live animals out there. What do they do day one, though? Is this kind of more of a, we're going to walk it around? Or are they going to go full bore here, run up and down the field?
Yeah, they need to run her because if she trots or walks, that's not going to go over well with the way Ralphie 6 was doing that. Ralphie 7 needs to come out and set the tone tomorrow night with a really nice run, because we have not seen a Ralphie have a really good run since Ralphie 5.
Yeah. Well, that might be a boost right there with that fan base, too, just to even see her out there. But then if you start seeing her turn on the Jets at such a young age, that could light this place up late Saturday night.
And, you know, honestly, people might laugh at that, but I think it's true. I mean, I really think that things like that set a tone in a stadium. And, you know, when there's Ralphie making the debut, and if she has a really nice run, it will energize the stadium, and the players feel that. And I think that I think it does have an impact. Not a huge one, but I think it sets a little bit of a tone early on.
Yeah, there's a reason, you know, colleges – these programs think on this stuff so much, and they put the time and effort to get these pregame rituals in. And if it is a live animal, putting in the time and effort to train them, it does make a difference. There's something about it. That's part of that home field advantage.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a reason why, like you mentioned, all those things. There, we could probably spend an hour talking about some of the cool traditions in college football, and it's because they do something for the fans, right? And they do something.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show here on a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. A lot of big ones coming up this weekend. A lot of big storylines surrounding our teams. How about the UNC Bears? They went toe-to-toe with South Dakota, ranked FCS team. They took them to overtime. They make a little comeback there and force OT. Interesting sequence there, though. They get the ball on South Dakota's one-yard line, can't punch it in on first and goal. Three straight runs, and then they're forced to kick the chip shot field goal that ultimately set this thing into overtime. And the Bears lose an OT. We all know about the CSU game. We all know that it feels kind of like a robbery there, but it is what it is. The Bears have proven they're becoming an improved team. Not many wins to show for it. They should be a favorite against Houston Christian this weekend. Can they get it done? We'll get into that. We got the quarterback toilet bowl coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.